This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, on a Friday after the NBA draft. There's always going to be an appeal for players of high level to play in college, even if it's just 1 year. If you were to get rid of the one-and-done rule, for example, would more kids at the AAU high school level make the jump to the NBA? Of course. I don't think we'd argue that. I think that would obviously be something a lot would do. But there is an appeal for some of the elite players to at least spend 1 year, maybe two, although that would be unlikely, to play college basketball. You might start seeing it from a marketing standpoint, just the ability to become a known commodity so that you can hit the ground running when it comes time to maximizing your money and monetary endorsement deals the minute you land with a particular team. Some players are becoming mystery men because not from the scouts and the people who really know, but from the public at large who just don't have enough information to digest what exactly their team has. I'll give you a perfect example with the fifth overall pick. The Cleveland Cavaliers, now with John Beilein at the helm at Michigan, took Vanderbilt guard Darius Garland. Now, Darius Garland arrived at Vanderbilt a very highly touted recruit, but he only played in a few games for the Commodores before he got hurt. And then immediately said, well, that's it. I'm out. I'm not even going, you know, I'm going to go to the NBA. That's what my plan was all along, and this doesn't change that at all. I don't have any desire to come back and have unfinished business and all that other stuff. Instead, he basically disappeared from the public eye. He only played in five games in college. Now, those who know and those who make a living in knowing all of the ins and outs of these players knew about him and knew he was a high-level talent anyway, and that's why he was projected to go in the top 10 as a lottery pick, maybe even top five where he landed. But imagine if you're a Cavaliers fan, are you sure you got the guy? Do you know anything? How does he compliment Colin Sexton? How does he compliment a John Beilein guard-heavy offense? You can be excited, but in the end, you don't know. The more you get players who decide, no, I'm not going to college. I'm going to play in Australia, or I'm going to sit out and work on my game with this organization. Fans, scouts don't worry about them, but fans, it's another story.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, some other news and notes from round one of the NBA draft. Round two was fun, but I mean, round one is where the money is being made. Kobe White of North Carolina went to the Chicago Bulls, and I thought was a fantastic pick. Roy Williams said something interesting about White. He said one of his best scoring guards he's ever coached. That's a big, big statement, given all of the athletes that have come under Roy Williams' tutelage. But he loves Kobe White, and the Bulls are really going to love him. That's a great pick at seven. You know, back and forth on a number of other players. Tyler Hero out of Kentucky went 13th of the Miami Heat, and I know this got ripped to shreds because he's a good player, but 13? I mean, yikes. But, you know, he's got some size, can shoot. It may have been a reach, but the Miami Heat, I don't give it all. I'm not all that crazy about it, but I don't give it the massive failing grade that others have. I did like Romeo Langford out of Indiana going to the Celtics. He has a pretty good game, and I thought it fit fine with what the Celtics are doing, which is basically blowing up everything and kind of moving along. But Chuma Okeke out of Auburn, do you remember his story in the NCAA tournament? Suffered the injury, was out, team rallied around him. At 16, the Orlando Magic made him a top pick, one of the top picks, top 50, you know, first round picks. At least in the first of the bottom half. It's an interesting place to go coming back from a big injury like that. With so many other good forwards left on the board, the Magic went with a guy who's coming off a very big injury. Good size at 6'8", but you know what? You just got to make sure guys come back from that. Nikhil Alexander-Walker of Virginia Tech going to the Pelicans. I've already talked about this tonight throughout the morning. I think the Pelicans have done fantastic with what they've done with the assets given by the Lakers and being able to turn those assets into different other picks with the Atlanta Hawks. Great move by David Griffin in the front office. I think this is a fantastic pick. So overall, you know, there are a couple of other hit and misses, but not by that much. I mean, Brandon Clark, the big guy from Gonzaga going to Memphis, who they got from the trade pick they got from Oklahoma City, big deal. Because now you've got the Grizzlies lost two key players in their identity, and they traded Marc Gasol, and then they traded Mike Conley about you know later in just the other day. Now you've replaced him with Brandon Clark at a Gonzaga, and then Ja Morant as your point guard. It's a pretty good deal. Tennessee's Grant Williams went to the Celtics, pretty good deal as well. And Darius Bazley, the kid from Cincinnati who had a chance to go to Syracuse, decided not to, was working on his game. I think he was an intern at New Balance, if I'm not mistaken. Got like $1 million and worked on his game. And that's one of the things I was talking about at the beginning, at the top of the hour, is that there are going to be some of these kids that are going to say, listen, I don't want to go play in a college program. I know where I want to go. I have the talent to go to the NBA. I'm going to take an opportunity to go play overseas, or I'm going to play, I'm just going to practice here and work on my game. I'm just not going to want to go to a campus and play in college and when it's really a waste of everybody's time. But then there are going to be players who know they're going to go to the NBA after 1 year, and they're still going to go even if the rule doesn't force them to do that. Most do it because they have to, but there are going to be some that will say once that rule is rescinded, they'll still say, I'm going to go. Darius Bazley was one of those kids that realized, you know what, I'm not going to play for Syracuse or anybody else. He took an internship at New Balance. He didn't want to play overseas. He's been working on his game. And now he's the 23rd pick by the Oklahoma City Thunder, who moved down to get him. So another storyline into the NBA draft last night. So good night for the NBA and a lot of storylines. That's what you want in a draft like this. You want people buzzing, talking, comparing, disappointed, excited. You want the range of emotions. And the NBA certainly had that last night. Were there too many trades? Depends on how you view it. If you're just looking at it from an entertainment standpoint, it was hard to follow. If you're looking at it from a business standpoint, it was nice to see teams being able to make the moves that they need to make. Every team that was out there that was making moves, either moving up or down in the draft or selecting a guy and then moving those rights somewhere else. There's a larger picture in play for a lot of teams other than just building a stockpile of young talent. And so to see 17 trades on the board, it certainly is a lot, and it's hard to keep up with who's going where and who's going, you know, what's going what. But the reality of it is it's all these teams trying to work out their future plans the best way they know how. The other big story of the day is the Tampa Bay Rays and the Major League Baseball possibly, and I use that in quotes, big quotes, possibly considering a plan that the Rays would love to put together in which half of their year is spent in St. Petersburg at Tropicana Field and their other half of their season is spent in Montreal that lost the Expos and became the Washington Nationals. Is it a bold plan to make a point that they need a home with a better stadium? Yes. Is it feasible? I don't think it is. But at least it's a different approach to moving than I've ever heard in my lifetime. I have never heard a proposal like this where a team is saying, look, where we play stinks. We hate it. We're not drawing enough people. We do want to stay in the area, but here's our proposal. We stay in the area, and then we move a good portion of our games to another location that's not even close. It's not even a territorial thing. They're not going to play games in St. Petersburg and then some more games in Jacksonville or Orlando. They're talking about moving to Canada for half the year. The only comparison that you can make that I can think of, at least off the top of my head, and maybe something like this went down in like the early days of the NBA or the NHL or something. I don't know. But the only example that I can come up with in terms of a team willing to sacrifice home games for a better opportunity is Jacksonville playing one game a year in London. Now, if Jacksonville played two or three games in London a year out of the 8 home games, if 2 or 3 of them were in London, this would be a better example. Doing a one game on the road in London every single season, it's not the same thing as taking your players and saying, yeah, pack up your stuff, because for the next 3 months, 4 months, we're going to be in this area of the world. And by the way, it's not even going to be the United States. Tampa and Miami were what seemed like guaranteed sells when these cities were announced as major league franchises. Because your thought process in Florida is, it's a state, it's got a lot of transplants, especially from the north. People wanted to get away from the winter. They still love baseball. It's sunny. There's a lot of senior citizens down there. Oh, this should be a no-brainer. It should work. It hasn't worked. Tampa Bay was a location for the San Francisco Giants before they built their new stadium for getting out of Candlestick. There was a rumor going around in, I want to say, mid-90s, I think, early 90s, that the San Francisco Giants were going to move to the Tampa Bay area before Major League Baseball gave them an expansion team. That city, that area seemed ripe for Major League Baseball. And it's had it. It's had it now for over 20 years. And it's never really caught on. It's funny, we have this, this day in history kind of thing. And on this day in history, back in 2010, the ownership group of the Tampa Bay Rays made a big stink about not being economically viable in the Tampa Bay area, saying that they were going to need a new stadium in order to survive. That was in 2010. That was 9 years ago. And they ain't going anywhere. They are in a bad lease at Tropicana Field. They signed a terrible home agreement. That doesn't mean they can't get out of it. You throw enough lawyers at a situation, they'll find their way out of anything. But it's a bad situation for the team to be in. The lease expires in 2027, which means we have 8 more years of this nonsense until they can find another home. What Major League Baseball and the Rays are trying to do is, they're trying to honor the lease in some capacity, but then also say, we've got to put you in another place so that you can become more economically viable in terms of attendance. But baseball just hasn't worked there. A local team hasn't worked there. Now, it's worked in Arizona, just doesn't work in Florida. Neither the Marlins or the Rays draw significantly enough to give them an economic impact. You know, Rays tickets, you know, buy one, get 20 free. Buy one, bring your friends, right? I mean, it's just, I've been there a number of times. My wife is from that area. My in-laws are from that area. I've been to that stadium 5 or 6 times. It's not a great place to watch a game. It's not a terrible place. I think some of the people who have been ripping it to pieces, I think it's a little over-exaggerated, but it's not a great place to watch a game. You wouldn't say it's a fine environment for baseball. The catwalk is ominous. It just doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel baseball-y. They used to play Tampa Bay Lightning games there. They play a football game there. So they do need a new stadium. The problem is that when you've shown year and year after, you know, year after year after year after year, there just is an attendance problem. Even when you're winning, even when you're excellent, it's not something that legislators and government agencies are going to want to put taxpayer funding towards. I mean, why build a $300 million stadium in Tampa? Let's say you want to move it to Tampa. Why would you build a $350 million stadium for a franchise that's never drawn, even when they went to the World Series? It's just too difficult. Now, again, location, location, location. Is Tropicana Field in a great area of town? Not really. Is it in a great area to drive to and is it easily accessible? Not really. A lot of traffic on those highways down there, and it's difficult to get to a 7 o'clock game.
But do you think
put it in Tampa? Maybe.
Do you think a new venue would change the opinion? That opinion?
Immediately, yes, because everybody loves a new place, a new crib.
Go and check it out.
But I don't think long term. I don't think that's the answer. Yep, I don't think that's the answer.
They would be back right where they are.
Yeah. Look, move the team to Nashville already, for crying out loud. I'm waiting for Major League Baseball to come to this town. Put some country singers together and make it happen.
No, it's the most bizarre thing because, you know, minor league baseball in the South is huge. College World Series, you always have teams coming from the South.
Very much so.
Who seem to dominate year after year after year. And they all, you know, baseball, even though they do have a long reach recruiting, it's usually local people who make up a baseball team.
Yeah, sure.
It isn't like football where Alabama's grabbing the top athletes all across the country. Alabama baseball is probably filtered with a lot of Alabama people who grew up in Alabama.
Well, I don't want to wax poetically like Marty Smith does on ESPN about the South, or Wright Thompson, like it's some sort of, you know, Gone with the Wind movie. But that there is a local feel in the South with college baseball, right? On a warm, buggy night, you can hear the aluminum bats ripple through Baton Rouge to Tuscaloosa to all parts in between. Yeah, there is a feeling. It's very local. It's very popular. It's more... I mean, I've lived in a lot of places. Until I got to Nashville, I've never seen college baseball. College baseball is never popular in any place I ever lived until I moved to Nashville. Most of the colleges that I covered had a team and nobody knew it.
Yep.
Nobody cared. And then I moved here and it was like, oh, they actually care about this. So
I went to school where we had one of the top baseball programs in the country. And I grew up in that town and didn't even know they existed.
Yeah,
it wasn't until I enrolled at that school. I was like, oh, wow, we really do have a good baseball team. I didn't know that.
Exactly. All right, 800-777-2907. We do have a buy and sell coming up later in this hour as we roll along day after the draft on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Did you, watching last night, the NBA draft, did you wish there were elements of the NFL draft that were in the NBA draft? Or does the NBA draft sort of stand on its own?
Nah, I think the NBA has an opportunity. That was one of the questions I'm going to bring up in the next segment, the buy or sell.
Oh, okay.
Is I think there's room for them to improve.
I think so. I think so. I think the NBA. I think it's not something you want to do immediately. I think you want to sort of add a little, incorporate just a little, but they can learn a little from the NFL. The NFL again has done a great job of saying, look. You know, you guys like this? And the fans go, yeah, we love it. Really? Us picking players, like putting them on a board? Yeah, we love it. All right, well, we'll put it on TV. Yeah, put it on TV. You want to do more? You want us to do this? Yeah. And we just kept saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were like, okay. Next thing you know, you got the gigantic circus that it is now, the fun, festive atmosphere that it is now. It's the same thing here. Like, it's either a news event or a party. Like, the NFL said, well, it can be both, can it? And you're like, yeah, it can be both. The NBA,
don't know how
it's
you're
still,
gonna make it
yeah,
both,
right?
But we're, yeah. We're game.
But the NBA, it still feels like a news event. And yet, and less of a party. Like, you see the fans there, and it's not the same. Like, the NFL, man, it's, listen, and I'm not talking these outdoor shows, okay? I'm not talking the road shows, because that's a different animal. But even when it was at Radio City Music Hall, you would see a group of, like, Kansas City Chiefs fans, a group of Steeler fans. They would show one Celtic guy last night, and he would be like, Celtics! Yeah! And there'd be nobody around him, no buddies he went down with. No, nothing. And you wonder, is this just a guy that moved to New York that happens to be a Celtics fan that got a ticket to this thing and decided to put it in there? So, what are you doing, by the way?
I got a box.
So you decided to open it while I was
yes.
talking? Like, I'll just rip it open and...
Yes, I'm listening to what you're saying because I'm curious. You know, our program director, Craig Larson, comes in here and just hands this gigantic box addressed to me. It has, and I have no idea what it is. I opened. I finally got the box open, and all I see is a Crown Royal label.
Oh,
I didn't order anything. Somebody sent this to me. Yeah, I'm thinking it might be coming from the Dominican Republic at this point. So I'm a little worried.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't want to overdrink and overeat. You're not used to that, Ron Calder.
I don't do that at all.
No, not at all. You don't want that. So, well, that's awesome. Good. Yeah, it's like Christmas at the end of the week. Very good. So, now, just looking at the draft, the overall production is good. It's quick. It moves quickly. The interviews are great. There is a little bit of the celebration of the NBA that I think is lacking, that the NFL has found a way to bottle up and master and to put in and put it into the draft broadcast. It's not so much, again, like I said before, these can be both. You can do the business of the draft, which can be boring at times. It's methodical. It's you know, guys are just, you know, taking players and moving on to the next one and moving on to the next one. But it also can be very, very entertaining. And it also can be at a point where it becomes must-see TV. Even I, last night, watching it, knowing I was watching it so I could talk about different elements of it and different things that occurred, even I was getting kind of bored with it. I was just like, all right, so they took this guy. Okay, great. They took this guy. Okay, great. They took this guy. But with the NFL, you always feel there's energy, especially on that Thursday. There's this energy and there's this excitement, and these are impactful. You know these picks are impactful, but it just, there's a pop to the NFL that I think the NBA lacks in its draft. And they're going to find a way to get it. I guarantee it. They're going to find a way to get it because what the NFL has packaged, I think that the NBA wants. Now, Major League Baseball and the NHL, they're just not going to be able to do that. They're just not going to be able to compete. Have their drafts gotten momentum over the years? Yeah, but it's not going to turn into what the NBA is doing.
I think with the NHL, it's always been, hey, there's this one person you need to look at. And that's all it's been. Like when Sidney Crosby was going through.
Right.
Like, oh, he's the next Gretzky. But did you pay any attention to the rest of the draft?
No. I mean, no. I again, with the NHL draft, I have to take the experts' word for it that these guys are good. Whereas the two others, NFL and the NBA, I can make my own opinions because I watch the collegiate level.
And with the MLB draft, it gets confusing because a player can get drafted, but it's not necessarily part of the team. Sometimes it feels like
that's right.
Like, especially if they're coming out of high school, they could be drafted. I mean, I guess if they go in the first round, it'd be foolish of them not to venture into Major League Baseball. But if they get drafted like the third or fourth round, a lot of times you hear about them being drafted in the third or fourth round, and they're like, oh, no, I'm going to go play college.
Yeah, this is what I don't understand. And I've never been able to get a real good answer to this, and I've asked this question a number of times. When you go to a college hockey game, for example, you can get the roster and you see the roster, and next to the roster will say their hometown, but a lot of times it'll tell you who owns the rights to that particular player. So you may see, you know, Boston University, for example, you might see a winger and he's basically his rights belong to like the New Jersey Devils or whatever. And yet we don't do the same thing in the other sports. Like we don't do the same thing in the NFL or the NBA. Like an NBA team cannot draft Zion Williamson, for example, while he was still in high school and say, that's okay. In 2 years, he'll be ours, or 3 years, he'll be ours. And I don't understand why hockey is different. I don't know why hockey, I mean, I know maybe it's something I guess, but I don't understand why that's allowed, but I can't do that in football.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm the Steelers and I'm like, you know what? I got aging Ben Roethlisberger, who's got a couple years left, but I'll take Trevor Lawrence now. I don't get a pick, but I'll take him for when he finally comes out. Right? Like you can't NHL. I think you can do that. I think in hockey you can do that. I think you can get drafted as long as you don't get any money. They're not paying you. You're not signing. You can go play college, but when it's time to play pro hockey, you belong to the Rangers or the Senators.
I mean,
are you kidding me? Absolutely, nuts.
Someone like Trevor Lawrence has been on the radar since he was in eighth grade.
Yeah,
imagine you drafting an eighth grader saying, "We don't need him right now."
No,
but he's ours.
We'll take him in 5 years, 7 years, 8 years. Yeah, it would be totally chaotic, but Yeah, I never could figure out an answer to that. SB Nation AM.
Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell.
It's one of my favorite things we do, Buy or Sell. Where Ron gives us a scenario, and then we say whether we're buying or selling it. It's that simple.
It's not that hard,
but it's still a lot of fun. All right.
Okay, number one, first off the bat, the NBA needs to find some way to turn their draft night into a two-night event.
Ooh. I'm going to sell that. It's two rounds. It'd be really hard to get people... I think it would be really hard to get people interested in round two. The NFL does it because it's just, I don't know, it's the NFL's most popular thing we got. I think it would be hard for the NBA to do that, but... I see why you would want to, if you're Adam Silver, to really extend the draft enthusiasm. And maybe you could do it in a way where you get the proper analysis and you get the people with their grades. Like, oh, the first pick by the Warriors was awful. Like, they get an F, and then they have to come back strong. You know, they want to come back strong the next round. That might work, but I don't know. Hard to do.
I mean, even if they don't turn it into a two-night event, they got to find some way to do a block party situation out of it.
Yeah, do something better than what it is.
I mean, last night just felt like, I mean, what was the difference between that and the NHL awards?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. You're right.
It was held in Vegas a couple nights ago.
Listen, take it on the road. There are plenty of arenas that would put this up. You don't have to do it like the NFL. We have this big stage shut down a downtown area. You're not that big.
You're not there yet.
You're not there yet. But if you were to take it to, you know, if you would take the draft and you would hold it in TD Garden, you know, TD Garden in Boston, or you went down to, I don't know, wherever, just Smoothie King Center in New Orleans or wherever, Toyota Center in Houston, I think you would get a lot of people to go and a lot of people would show up. And I think the exploring the rotation of the NBA draft is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So.
All right, on to the next. Trades were the big winner of the NBA draft and made the whole night far more interesting than who the teams actually selected.
Yeah, I agree with this. I'm buying this. I think you're absolutely right. There were 17 of them by my count. I might even be missing one, but I think I got it right. 17.
There's still more to come, Tony.
There was, what, 60? Yeah, exactly. There was 60. Think about this for a second. There were 60 picks and 17 trades. In the movement of those picks. That is a really, really good percentage. So, yeah, I would say that. Yeah, of course, there are, you know, we're going to buzz about certain players going to certain places, not just the top three, you know, but trades. That was a big deal.
Well, I mean, to put it perfectly, I mean, Rich Eisen tweeted out this, and I think this sums up the trade, the whole scenario best. It says, congratulations, DeAndre Hunter. Your dream of being drafted by the Lakers but having your rights traded to the Pelicans and then transferred to the Hawks has come true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's said.
And yeah, I got to buy or sell about him in a few. So,
yeah, and let's reiterate for you, those of you who may have slept yesterday or were busy yesterday or maybe just don't really understand the workings. The LA Lakers had the fourth pick last night. They had it. But they agreed to give it to New Orleans once the Anthony Davis trade has been finalized, which it hasn't yet. And then New Orleans, still with an unfinalized fourth pick, gave it to the Atlanta Hawks, traded it with the Atlanta Hawks. That's a mess, but yet somehow it made sense.
And somehow it's allowed.
It's allowed
for the Pelicans to trade a pick that they don't have.
You asked a really good question. What if something happened to Anthony Davis or something occurred LeBron that would nullify the trade?
His mind.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, DeAndre Hunter's like, I can't wait to move to Atlanta. I mean, New Orleans. I mean, L.A. Where am I going?
He's never going to unpack. That's basically right? What's going to happen.
Exactly.
Okay. Not only will Zion Williamson be selected to the All-Star game in his first season, he will also be the unanimous rookie of the year.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, let me think. Okay, I'm gonna buy it. Yeah, I'm gonna buy it. He's that good. All-Star game, rookie of the year, yeah.
I mean, maybe I put an asterisk next to it, given that a shoe doesn't blow out on him.
That's very true.
If his shoe blows out on him.
He gets hurt.
Yeah, well, no. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But I'm just saying a shoe.
I'm still liking Jared Culver. No, I agree. No. I'll buy that.
All right, on the same token, David Griffin just cemented his name as the clear favorite for NBA Executive of the Year after what he's done this offseason.
Buying it by a ton. I'm buying that stock and holding on to that bad boy.
He was like Kevin Costner in Draft Day.
He really was. God bless him last night.
I saw someone else say what the Pelicans did, or even what David Griffin has done harkens back to the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah. Oh God, he's
where he gave up a good player, but you got all these picks, and I mean the Cowboys turned it into everything.
The amazing amount of players and picks that he got in this deal, and what he's turned those into, has been fantastic. I mean, fantastic without question.
I mean, even like before the draft even started last night, we're sitting there, we're thinking about, okay, the Pelicans have one, the Pelicans have four, and then 30 minutes before the draft. Oh, the Pelicans traded away like two of their picks and got three of Hawks picks.
Yep,
in this
exactly.
draft. And we're like, wow, how does this even happen?
Yeah, and Nikhil Walker Alexander and Jackson Hayes, those are great additions to what they're doing with the fact that they've got Ingram, the Laker guys per se, and then they've got Zion Williamson in the draft.
Yeah.
It's great. Well done. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. And Zion Williamson, the only true pick that they got that had nothing to do with the Anthony Davis deal, but then the haul from the Anthony Davis deal has made them the winners of the night, and everyone's giving them an AA+.
Well, I mean, when you really think about it, like immediately after they got rid of, they traded away Anthony Davis, Pelican fan probably went, oh my God, we have the worst team in the NBA. We'll get the lottery next year.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
We get the lottery, and then, they're like, oh, we have the number one pick, but Zion Williamson isn't just going to be enough. Now you look at this team, and you might have a question mark whether or not they can make the playoffs, and there still probably is a question mark to whether or not they can make the playoffs. But I'm looking at them, I'm like, okay, this is a young team. They find their rhythm early. That's a top eight team, at least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? And here's the other thing. Congratulations to the organization from not bowing to the pressure of getting rid of Anthony Davis at the trade deadline for saying, you know what? No. And I don't care if he whines and cries and throws on a that's all t-shirt. He's not going anywhere until we know exactly what the landscape of this league is going to look like. We're not going to just give him to the Lakers because, he doesn't want to play here anymore. No. Where are we in the draft? Where are other teams in the draft? Who wants to talk now? I mean, what if the Knicks had the number one pick? What if the Knicks had the number one pick and you traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers for a haul you weren't happy with? And then the Knicks get the number one pick and you're like, oh my God, we could have dealt with the Knicks.
And that's what I'm talking about is like, what if LeBron James looks at this and goes, you know what? I want these young guys instead of Anthony Davis. Can the Lakers say, oh, never mind. We want our picks
back. That's right.
That's
right. So again, kudos to the Pelicans for standing your ground and saying there's a lot more to this story that has not been written. Let's wait till it's written and then find out where we are. Good for you. Well done. Well done, David Griffin.
It's still too early for DeAndre Hunter to celebrate being a Hawk because you just have the feeling he'll be traded one more time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't unpack your bags. We're not 100% sure. Chill out for a little bit. Atlanta's a nice town. Rent, don't buy. Go to the Coca-Cola Museum. Have a hot dog at Varsity.
Maybe
go see the aquarium. Rent a scooter. But plan at least on having half of your suitcase packed up and ready to go at a moment's notice.
So bizarre. I've never heard of this. I mean, can you imagine this happening in the NFL?
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly.
You have a player, you trade for a pick. I mean, it happens all the time where a pick is traded after their selection. We see that in the NFL all the time, but I've never seen it in a way where it's like, okay, this team has your pick, but they traded it before the draft, and then we're going to take that pick and trade it before. It's confusing. He probably doesn't even know where to be.
If I was a family member of DeAndre Hunter, my Christmas present would be a jersey in three pieces of the Hawks, Lakers, and Pelicans.
Yep.
With Hunter, Hunter on the back. And I would give it to him and say, you'll always remember June 20th of how this went down. Yeah. And then just give him the jersey like that and just make him mount it in his house when he's playing for the Sacramento Kings.
Exactly. So it's only a matter of time.
Exactly.
Coby White will not be getting any endorsements from hat companies anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. Good. Quite good point. Wow. God, I want to pass on this because I don't want to sound crazy. But yeah, that wasn't the best look last night. But he's got some wild hair, man. That was cool.
It's uncontainable.
It's uncontainable.
That's all you need to know.
You know what? I will say this. As much as he did not look good in the hat, I think he really warmed up America when he was so enthusiastic that Cameron Johnson got drafted 11th.
Yeah.
In his press conference, he was so genuinely happy for his teammate. It was refreshing and it put a smile on my face. So well played.
The only thing that would have made it better is if they got picked by the same team.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But his genuine enthusiasm for a teammate was pretty awesome. So good for him.
All right, two more. Bol Bol will start immediately and be a far better player than his father.
No, I'm selling this. No, I don't think I'm selling
that.
Do
you think Manute has it over him?
Yeah, well, this is what I've been... You know, I initially was excited. I'm not a Nuggets fan per se, but I got a soft spot for the team. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. Bol Bol is going to go to the Nuggets. And then I read up on it, and people hate his work ethic, which is really surprising. That was the big knock. It was the injury, of course. That's always going to play a factor in it. But the more I read, I was like, I didn't know this. He hated his work ethic and his dedication to the game. So now he's trying to prove everybody wrong. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yikes. But size 7'2", and he went, he was in the green room like, I'm going to go at any minute now. And he had to wait till the second round. I feel sorry for guys like that. It's got to be embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, he was Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. By the way, Manute Bol was one of the best, best NBA personalities that we had. It's just this gigantic guy that one time made a three-pointer and we all celebrated as a country. But I heard, I knew a guy that knew him really, really well. And said he's one of the funniest guys. He was one of the funniest guys that he ever met. Just constantly making jokes and laughing. When did he die? Four or five years ago?
I think so.
Manute Bol? I'll have to look that up. But yeah. So it was very funny.
All right. And finally, our friend and host of The Break, Brian Barrett.
Yes?
He and I should place a friendly wager on which of our long-lost cousins will have a better year.
I think you should. I think you should. And I'll be honest with you. I think you might win.
I'm no doubt in my mind I'm going to win.
Yeah, I think you might win. I think Jared Culver will be fantastic for the, let me check, Phoenix/Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes. As long as he doesn't get traded again.
I think you might.
I think the funniest thing was, they always, when they have the draft, they always do this player comparison.
Yeah.
And the player comparison that most people are saying that Jared Culver reminds them of is Jimmy Butler.
Oh, that's a nice comparison.
That's a nice comparison, but it is kind of funny that it's with Minnesota. You think Minnesota woke up and was like, no, not Jimmy.
No.
On the court, right? On the court only?
Yeah.
On the court, he's just comparing. Not a whole Jimmy Butler package.
We're not getting that headache again, are we? No. The winners here are too long to deal with that.
I'm saying Jared Culver over RJ Barrett for this next upcoming season.
I think you should. That would be fun. That would be fun to revisit.
I'm going to have to talk to him later. We'll have details on what maybe that bet could be.
Exactly. By the way, I looked it up. Manute Bol died in 2010, so it was a while ago.
Wow.
It doesn't feel like that long.
No, it doesn't. It feels like we got the news. I would have said 2016 when every celebrity died.
Well, yeah, that's true. I would have said 2014 or 13 or 14 or 15, like around that era. That
2010?
Time. 2010, wow. Yeah, June. It was actually a couple of days ago, the anniversary of his passing. June 19th, 2010.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. All right, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh, Ron, I've decided that I'm going to watch every episode of Cheers on Netflix now.
That's fantastic.
Yesterday afternoon, I was trying to find something to watch, and I was like, eh. And then I saw Netflix had Cheers, and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch the first episode, 1982. I was a little young. I couldn't stay up to watch Cheers when it was on in 1982.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh, all right.
But I feel
I did
like
watch
I've seen
later.
That season, though, in reruns.
I did. But the more I watched it, right, the more I got into it, I was like, oh, I've seen these episodes multiple times. What was fun was the Boston references to early 80s sports. It was kind of neat, you know. As Coach came in the pilot, and he complains that the Patriots took like a linebacker in the draft. So I'm like, who did the Patriots take in 1982? And I looked it up and I was like, oh no, they took a defensive end or something. But like Carl Yastrzemski comes to the plate and Carl is like angry at him because he flew out against the Yankees. It was really cool. Like it was such a neat time. It was such a neat show.
Kevin McHale appeared on that show multiple times, but
yeah, he did.
But I don't remember Larry Bird or Robert Parrish. I know those were the guys.
Yep,
back then.
Kevin McHale was on it. So was Wade Boggs. If I'm not mistaken,
yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. There was the Yankee fan that was going to sue the bar because Carla attacked him, and he starts yelling at her, and she has to stay still. And then he gets a Bruin takes him out outside the bar. So 271 episodes, I think. So I got a lot of laying around watching television. To be had.
Get started.
Right. More on the NBA draft coming up next on SB Nation Radio.